Ramsey TV.
From the not metropolis of Greenwich, Ohio, this is Martin Zender. I used to live here for 25 years because that's where this is the area where my then fiance lived in 1982. And yes, 82. Yeah, at first I drove out here from Canton, Ohio on a blind date, mind you. I had seen pictures, I had heard tell. It's a long story, but I drove the hour and a half here from Canton, Ohio into the, what to me was a wilderness, into the country, into Mayberry. And great place to raise your kids. I have great memories from here. And it's nice to come back here and visit. But to me now the landscape is really depressing. So, you know, that's just what it is. I love visiting my son and whatnot. But, all right, enough of that. I got some sad news that a subscriber, longtime subscriber and supporter of this work, has been diagnosed with terminal cancer and maybe has 2 weeks to live. All right. And he's leaving behind, among other things, a 17-year-old son. And he wanted me to make a message on the fatherless. And I know him, but I know his son's listening. And I'll start by saying this, that I am extremely sorry about this news. I hate death. I don't know if anyone hates death more than me, because there are people, even in our own groups, who celebrate death. They think that, like, the second death is figurative. People are coming to God during death. No, death is an enemy. 1 Corinthians 15:26. So I hate it, and I commiserate with anyone facing it. Dark times. So you have my sympathy, my empathy, because I watched my dad die, and you have my prayers as well. I do have advice for you. And this is just a reality of life. Truth be known, our fellow believer who's in the UK, let's say he has only 2 weeks to live. And by the way, his letter to me was so spiritual. You really see the Spirit of God show up when someone's facing something like this. You see how real it is. In other words, you see the authenticity of the Spirit of God when someone can say things like, I know my God and I trust him and I know that I will see him and I know that death is a cessation of consciousness and the body goes to the ground from which it came. The spirit returns to God. There's no consciousness in the spirit. The consciousness disappears, the person disappears, but only temporarily. And my friend knows this, and he's very, I'm not even going to say brave, it has nothing to do with being brave, nothing absolutely to do with being brave, screw it. It has to do with the Spirit of God sustaining you, undergirding you, be brave. No, that's crap, okay, nobody's brave in these times, but the Spirit of God undergirds you. But here's the sad truth about this eon. Any one of us could die before him. Any one of us. He has 2 weeks to live, but guess what? We could precede him in death. I could die tomorrow when I drive back to Canton. I could drive. I could die flying back home to Florida on Monday, on the day you're listening to this show. We're all a step away from death. Sad reality. This is the doom that will be eliminated when Christ returns and we receive the gift of immortality, which is deathlessness. If you're immortal, you can't die. It's a hell of an advantage. Hell of an advantage. We don't have it now, but we expect it. We don't hope for it. No, we expect it. So, one thing, my 17-year-old friend, and it sounds like he's a believer, his son. There's nobody can be able to replace your father. Nobody can replace my father or my mother, who's also dead. Nobody. And some people at this time would tell you to, like, if I'm talking to anyone now, if anyone loses a parent or a spouse or, God forbid, a child, I mean, God forbid any of these things, but some would say, turn to God. You must turn to God. You must seek God at this time. Turn to God, seek God. This might seem like a shock to you, but I am not going to give you that advice because I don't even understand that advice. I don't even understand. That advice is not helpful whatsoever. And this is why. When somebody tells you to turn to God, that would tell you that God must be somewhere else. You have to turn to Him because He's certainly not inside of you. And then to seek God, seek the comfort of the Lord. Seek the comfort of the Lord. I already did that. I sought God back in 1979, and I found Him. No, actually, He found me. And then I found out through Paul's gospel that the Spirit of God makes its home in me. So this is a lot different than what was happening in the Old Testament with the gospel of the circumcision. It's that the Christ was there and you're here, right? Christ is there, you're here. But with Paul's gospel, the Spirit of God makes its home in you, and the Spirit of Christ is in you, and you cannot be separated from Christ. And Paul goes so far as to say, to live is Christ. So seek, why would I have to keep seeking? It's ridiculous. Christ is in me. Seek Him and you shall find Him. Why do I have to seek Him? Does He keep leaving? Is He playing a game? Is He playing hide and seek? I have Him today. Tomorrow I have to seek Him because he's behind a bush somewhere? Or He's in another town? Or He's in another sector of the universe? This is baloney. I hate this kind of talk. You have Him already. You already have Him. You don't need to seek Him. You already have Him. You don't need to turn to Him because He's within you. Now, that's a fact. That's a stabilizing thing for anyone suffering loss. Okay. Turning to God or turning to Jesus Christ, that does not, I repeat, that does not satisfy the loss that you have experienced. Some people tell you, well, now that you've lost a spouse, now you can turn to the Lord and the Lord will be your spouse now. Please, I might throw up. I might throw up. When you're in a situation of losing a father at a young age, and I still consider 17 a young age, or anyone who loses a spouse, it's a horrible thing. The best thing to do, I'll give this advice specifically to the son of my friend, is that you need to seek a mentor. You need to find another male figure in your life. He's not going to replace your father. Never. Nobody can do that. I'm not suggesting that your father can be replaced. And I'm giving this advice to all members of the body of Christ. Yeah, you can seek God. You can turn to God. But how does that help you emotionally and physically? We need beings with skin on. We need warm bodies. Okay? We need fellowship. Well, I fellowship with Jesus. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. I mean, on one level, I get it in that, yeah, Jesus is in us. And there's solace in that. And there's comfort. And it's real. I guess you could call it fellowship. But a lot of us are dying of loneliness out here because Jesus has not shown up lately in the flesh. But what does He do? Oh, He puts His Spirit in other people. And so we seek other people because these other people have skin on and they're warm bodies and they have ears. They can listen to you. They have mouths. They can minister to you. And so we need people. We need people. And it's not this matter of, well, either I seek the Lord or I find another person. No, because it's the Lord who's giving you another person. The Lord is giving you another person. So, for instance, if you lose a spouse, I would not say, well, seek the Lord. No, I would say seekmatch.com. That's what I would say. Seekmatch.com. I don't know what website you go to if you lose a father to find a mentor or a big brother or another male figure to come into your life that you can be friends with, you can look up to, that can steer you the right way. I hate death. I'm really sorry. I'm really sorry that this is happening to my friend and a supporter of this work and a member of the body of Christ. Death sucks, but it needs to be replaced with other people. It needs to be replaced with other people. You need to get out and find warm bodies, okay? Someone came up with a stupid rule of thumb that if you suffer through a divorce or you lose your spouse by death, that you need 1 month for every year you are together with that person in order to recover psychologically. And in the meantime, you should go to counseling. And this is the worst advice anybody could give you, okay? This is my advice to give you. Give yourself 1 day. 1 day for every year you are with this person. So if you were married for 25 years and your wife dies, or your husband dies, give yourself 25 days. 25 days, that's 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks, then find somebody else. The best way to get over losing someone is to find somebody else fast. But realizing that you are not going to replace, nothing can replace. Do you remember the series The Office, right? The Office, the comedy. Steve Carell played the main character, Michael Scott, remember? And then I think they went 4 or 5 seasons, and then Steve Carell left the show to become a movie star, which, if you ask me, he failed miserably at. And so the writers of the show were so smart because they knew you can't replace Steve Carell. Michael Scott was a unique character. If you've seen The Office, you know what I mean. So they came up with a completely different kind of boss who had his own quirks. They hired James Spader, the actor James Spader, and he played the character of Robert California. And if they had tried to come up with a clone of Michael Scott, it would have failed completely, because you can't freaking replace Michael Scott. You can't. So you're not going to replace your spouse. You're not going to replace your father. Once you know that, then you're not defacing or belittling their memory by going out and finding another warm body, because that's what you need. And you need it fast. You need it quick. Okay? None of this, well, I'm going to give myself 3 years. No, in 3 years, you will psychoanalyze yourself so much, you will rehash the past over and over and over again until you decimate yourself psychologically and you turn to drugs or alcohol or crime. Okay? You need a warm body. Well, I just turned to God. No, that's not a warm body. Okay? God does not have a warm body. Jesus Christ does have a warm body, but he's not here. But he sends other people in your life. Now, ideally, these other people should be a believer. It'd be great. But since there's only about 500 believers in the world, which pisses me off, but hey, I'm not God. You know, you have to find people that aren't believers, whatever. I mean, I'm not recommending, it's hard to say I'm not recommending. I don't recommend you, as Paul says. I have to follow Paul here. Paul says, what does Paul say? Oh yeah, do not become unequally yoked with unbelievers. So if you have lost a spouse, if you're lost a spouse by a divorce or by death, then find a loving person with a warm body and a warm mind and a sense of humor. And if they're not a believer, then I don't suggest getting yoked with them, but I do suggest spending lots of time with them, okay? You don't have to live together. They can live at their address. You can live at yours, but you can be together without entering into a covenant relationship, okay? You don't want to do that unless it's a believer. Do not, you can't do it anyway. It's only two believers can enter into a covenant relationship where they pledge themselves to one another in accord with Ephesians 5. But if there's only one believer, then you can still be friends. You can still have sexual relations. Many will disagree with me on that. That's okay. I'm right. They're wrong. And I have scripture. They don't. Too bad for them. Yeah, don't worry. You can have two single people can have sex without being married. But of course, if anyone has any more questions about that, you can leave comments or you can write me. Go out there, find a warm body and find it quick. Find it quick. Give yourself one day for every year that you've been in a relationship. So this 17-year-old, he's obviously known his father for 17 years. So if his father dies before the snatching away, oh, and I wrote his dad today, and I said to him, for one thing, you know, we're all one step away from death, and I said, how we don't know that you're going to enter the death state before the snatching away. It's that close. You may not enter the death state. This whole conversation I'm having with you today could be completely moot, and I hope to hell that it is. That would be great. Because I hate death, and I hate mortal life. That doesn't leave much, does it? No wonder I'm unhappy. There's only two things I hate, death and life. Huh, that doesn't leave much else. No, it's not life that I hate, it's mortal life. I would love immortal life. Love it! I would love it! I'll take two. But in the meantime, seek fellowship. And speaking of that, and this is not a commercial, this just flows naturally. I'm going to be in Evansville, Indiana on November 1st and November 2nd. This is not an unrelated topic. I'm going there because I need the fellowship. I'm also going there to speak. Yes, I'm going to dispense my inimitable wisdom, and you will benefit from it, and I will benefit from you. Yeah, I will benefit from you. I'm going there to fellowship. I'm going there to be taught also by you. But yes, I will be also speaking and answering questions. So if you can get there, get there. Because as you can see from this situation with my friends in the UK, we don't always know how long we're going to be here, do we? No, we don't. So every day needs to be appreciated, which kind of goes against what I just said of hating death and mortal life. So, but still, you need to appreciate it. So I'll leave you with that for now, and may God help us all.